Are you ready to tell me
everything?
Did he watch your Instagram story?
He was the first to watch it, girl.
Ghost him.
Stop.
Block him.
Hey guys, welcome back to Tell Me Everything with Lance, episode 53. So guys, today's guest and I had a great connection the moment we met. I think it was actually at a party. Shamayla's birthday?
My memory is terrible, so you can't ask me that.
Okay,
I'll leave it with you.
It was at Shamayla's birthday party, a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours. Nadia Bakr.
Bakr. Yes.
Great, fantastic. Helps manage her family's business, a beach club called Soul Beach and Jabba Ali. Guys, it's incredible. I have actually been, and it's fantastic. So definitely check it out. But she's not only a person that manages a beach club, of course. She's a mama, she's a wifey, and she's a person. So
am I?
You are a person. You are Nadia. You
sometimes
are
I don't feel like one.
And today we're going to get into it because we're going to discuss the transition from becoming a single gal to a wifey to now in her mama era with her beautiful son, Tariq. I think all women can relate to the feeling of your life changing forever, whether that's marriage, baby, career advancements. So today we're going to get into it. Nadia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
It's good to be here.
So happy you're here. Okay, you ready?
Let's go.
All right. So, well, for starters, before we get into it, could you tell the listeners where you're from? I know you grew up in the UAE. You're from here. So can you kind of tell the listeners where you're from?
Yeah, sure. I'm Emirati, actually.
Woohoo!
Am I your first Emirati guest?
Second.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I had the pilot. I had the first female.
Amazing. Yeah, she's okay, fantastic. Amazing. Yeah. I'm happy to go second after her. Yeah, so I'm Emirati. Not born in Dubai. I was born in the States, actually, but that doesn't really matter. My whole life is here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky to come from a family that's quite liberal in Emirati standards. Mm-hmm. So they were super open with me. I studied abroad, traveled the world, did whatever I wanted, really.
Mm-hmm.
Within boundaries.
Of course, of course.
As all Arab girls.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people don't really know that I'm Emirati. Mm-hmm. I don't come across as Emirati, so I'm kind of like undercover. Managing a beach club, like you said, is not very typical.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of take pride in what I do. And yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. So where did you go to university, Nadia?
Okay, so this needs a whole episode on its own.
Yeah. Okay, tell me.
So my background is actually fashion.
No
so I studied, fashion, PR and communication.
Mm.
And then I did fashion design as well. And then I realized that I hated fashion. It's not my vibe. It's not what I wanted to do in life. I did have a fashion job in PR and consulting. And then I switched from fashion to advertising. So I worked at BBDO and then Dubai Parks and Resorts. And then where I'm at now.
Wow, I actually didn't realize that was your journey. But you know what? You probably learned all those skills, like, learning on the job and then be able to bring that knowledge to your family's business is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, like many of the people around us or many people in general, I didn't really apply anything from university to any of my jobs.
Literally nothing.
Each job kind of taught me something totally different and it kind of got me to where I am today. And that's basically the journey that I've been on professionally.
Okay, well, that's I didn't know actually your background was in fashion. We have to discuss that later. I have some things to add. But okay, tell us a bit about your pre-wifey era. So before you met Moyo, who's your husband, what was, you would say, like your single girl era? Was it about finding yourself? Was it about dating just, to find like what you like? Was it more like going out? Like what was kind of that era for you?
It was a bit of everything, actually. Mm. Like, I mean, working in hospitality and being in hospitality as part of my family's business and me as a person, my personality, I was very, extroverted, outgoing, loved to go out. There was always an element of like market research, whenever I'd go out. But I was super social. I was a lot more social.
Well, now we got a kid. Yeah, so like, yeah,
we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that later. Yeah, exactly.
I was also quite active, so I scuba dive. So my weekends consisted a lot, consisted a lot of, how do you say that sentence?
Can like activities?
Activities. Scuba diving, hiking.
Wow, okay.
You know, a lot of people don't do these things in Dubai, or a lot of people I know don't necessarily think that it's so easy to do these things here, but I was doing them every weekend. So I kind of balanced, you know, the standard social activities with adventure activities. My dad is also a big adventure guy. I mean, not necessarily here because he's busy with work, but, you know, our travels consist of adventure more than anything. So it was quite balanced, you know. I did a lot of going out, and then I also did a lot of the stuff that I would consider was fulfilling. So scuba diving was my go-to activity.
So do you was finding love one of your like priorities, you would say, before you got married, or did it kind of like land on you?
That's an interesting question. I wasn't looking for it.
Okay.
And I was never the type of person that was like, oh my God, it's so hard to find, you know?
Like so hard to date, all of that.
Yeah. It wasn't my priority, and I think that kind of worked in my favor as well. I think, yeah, I wasn't ever actively looking for it, and it just kind of came to me in a very, very interesting.
How did you guys meet?
We met in Thailand.
What?
Did you not know this?
I don't know. At Shamal's bachelorette?
Yes.
Stop.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So for the people that don't know, Shamal's my best friend.
I've been like three times already. I'm dead.
Shamal's my best friend, and she had her bachelorette trip in Thailand, and we were like a group of 12 girls. And long story short, coincidentally, he was in Thailand at the same time.
Insane.
And we just happened to be at the same place at the same time. One of the girls that was on the trip with us, who's also my best friend, Rula, she happened to know him. You know, they were acquaintances. They weren't good friends by any means. And then, I mean, it was such a quick interaction, like a meaningless interaction, I guess. It was just like, oh, hey, you guys are in Thailand. So nice to see people from Dubai here. He was there by himself doing Muay Thai training.
Love that for him.
And then, I mean, And I guess, I mean, that's where it ended in terms of Thailand, because I didn't think anything of it. Was absolutely not interested. You know, was just... sorry, babe. I was there to have a good time with my friends. It was just a really, really good trip with a lot of good energy. We were celebrating Shamayal with our closest girlfriends. And then, so we left Thailand, and then he slid into my DMs.
Yes, I love a slide into a DM story. I love it.
Yeah, so he slid into my DMs, and it was just a really, really good time in my life, actually, like where I was absolutely not looking for anything. And so he messaged me, and he saw a lot of the posts on my Instagram page consist of my scuba diving or my adventures, my travels. I love to take pictures as well, so that's another hobby, so photography. So a lot of my pictures are very aesthetic and reflective of that side of my personality. So his first message was about scuba diving. So he was like, oh, like it was nice to meet you, and I see that you go diving a lot, and you know, I dive as well, and I'd love to, you know, join one of the trips with your group whenever you plan it, and just let me know. And the conversation kind of kicked off from there. And then it was actually my birthday. We were in Thailand maybe in November, December. My birthday is December 10th. And so I was like high on life. I don't know what was going on in my life at that stage, but I was just like, anyone and everyone is welcome to anything.
That open energy. Yeah. You're also giving out that like open energy for connections or whatever it might be.
So he was like, oh, so like, what do you get up to? And I just like, I explained to you, I was like, you know, I go out, but like, I also do these things, and I love to do these things, and I love to capture these moments and these experiences so that I can share them with people. And then, so I ended up inviting him to my birthday. I just had like a it was just kind of like a casual invite. It didn't really mean anything. it was just like, oh, I'm throwing my birthday, we're going to Iris, it's like 30 people, come bring whoever you want, you know, girl, guy, you know, there was no real
like pressure.
Yeah, no pressure, no expectation. So I kind of forgot about it. You know, we were talking casually, but I was just, you know, in my head, I was like, oh, he looks like, you know, your typical Dubai guy, you know, I'm not, you know, he's a nice guy and I like to meet people with same interests,
yes,
you know? So I thought like, oh, great, we have one more person to go diving with or to, you know, do these activities with. And then he actually showed up to my birthday by himself. He didn't bring anyone.
That's ballsy.
Yeah.
That's a bold
I think
move.
That's what kind of
intrigued
caught
you.
My attention.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So he showed up. And I was like, wow, like mad respect, you know, like, it, like that's a lot of pressure. Respect. Yeah. like, I mean, you know, it was like, what, he didn't need to come. He doesn't know me or whatever. So I, you know, it kind of like sparked my interest a little bit. And then now we're married with a baby.
Wow. Thank you for telling us and me.
Yeah.
That story, because I didn't know actually like this, the kind of like journey to you guys, like actually getting married.
Yeah.
I mean, so something that I've discussed, I mean, you said your hobbies of scuba diving and photography and going out sometimes and having that social life. Like, I've discussed, I had like a solo episode where I discussed my identity crisis.
Yeah, I listened to that.
Thank you
so
much. But I'm dealing, so, you know, by dealing with like the party girl going out, but also like want to be a good wife, not meaning that being a wife doesn't mean that you can't go out and be your independent.
Yeah.
Of course it doesn't. But you are trying to manage someone else's emotions, their friend group, their priorities, their everything.
Yeah.
You're coming home to that environment. So my question is to you, how have you dealt with compromise? Because now you've been married like 2 years, right?
Oh my God. Is it 2 years?
21,
two and a half years.
Or 2.5 years.
I love how you know it better than I do.
I know.
Yeah, no, 2021.
2021,
yeah.
I remember getting that message from you and getting from your website and stuff. So in those two and a half years, can you tell me a bit about your experience? Because you said, like, kind of how do you describe who you are? How have you had to, and if you've had to, compromise on that with your partner before Tariq?
I think we had a lot of synergy before we had our son. So I don't feel like there was a lot of compromise. Like, we both, you know, we love music, we love to dance, but we also we're both homebodies, so we love to be at home.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, believe it or not.
I'm actually shocked to hear that, because I find that you both, like, whenever you're in social settings, you're the life of the party.
Yeah.
So that's a bit, I'm like,
thank you.
Okay,
I don't feel like I am anymore, but thank you.
No, you are, Nandi. I really do feel like every time I see you out, even post-baby, you are the life of the party. So did you not feel like there was a bit of compromise? Do you still feel like you have your independence with your hobbies, or do you feel like that kind of decreased naturally because you got married?
No, I mean... No, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that at all. I felt that when I got pregnant, actually. Yeah, I think when we were married and it was just us, it was just like we enjoyed the same things. You know, it's kind of what connected us in the beginning as well. You know, there's the, I don't want to word it like this, but there's the superficial side of going out and stuff. But there's also, you know, it was important for me to have somebody who also enjoyed, you know, the adventure side of life, you know. And just the fact that, you know, he was, you know, he was training for Muay Thai. And he's actually quite active. He was doing, you know, he was horse riding, he was doing Muay Thai, he was diving. I mean, he compromised actually for me a little bit, because he had like an incident diving that kind of scared him, and he knew that it was really important to me to kind of continue that that activity in my life. So it wasn't really something that he wanted to do, but like he would do it for me. But everything else was kind of in sync. You know,
what was your biggest adjustment then, getting married before baby? Like, was it living together?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, living together.
Yeah, it's like the personal space aspect, you know. But I think we both also understood that we both like to be alone sometimes, and you know, we gave each other that space. So before baby, I don't feel like there was this like intense feeling of compromise.
So now let's go into pregnancy.
Yeah. So I got pregnant. We were married and I got pregnant 9 months into marriage. Actually, I got pregnant before I was pregnant with Tariq, and I had a miscarriage.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No,
to hear
no,
that.
It's fine. I mean, it's something that women should talk about openly.
And I would love for us to actually, if you're open to it, to discuss it today.
Look, my experience was I got pregnant. We weren't trying. We weren't not trying, but we weren't trying.
Actively
and,
trying.
Yeah. It was so weird because I actually had a dream that I got pregnant and I was like, oh my God, I need to do a pregnancy test. My period wasn't late. My period is super regular. Mm-hmm. So,
you know
I was
coming.
Anticipating my period arriving. And then I just had this feeling that I needed to take a pregnancy test after the dream. So I woke up that morning and I took a pregnancy test. He had gone off to work and I was just like, okay, whatever. It's going to be nothing. Like, it's just a dream. And then I look at it and there's like the plus sign. I was like, no effing way.
Oh,
no way.
God.
This is happening. Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Hello, can you come back home?
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't. So let me rephrase how I kind of opened the subject. So it wasn't a miscarriage. I had a chemical pregnancy. So a lot of women don't know what a chemical pregnancy is.
I actually don't know what
it is. So a chemical pregnancy is when your body reacts to being pregnant and there is some sort of like fertilization, but an embryo doesn't form. So your body is in a state of pregnancy, but there's no viable embryo or embryo at all.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So I got the positive test. I went to the doctor and they told me, they did the scan and everything. And I was like, okay, what's up?
Yeah, what's
and they were
on?
Like, you know, when do you think you conceived? You know, when was your last period? The normal questions. And they were like, okay, they do a blood test to check your pregnancy hormones and stuff. So mine were, I had the pregnancy hormones, but my scan showed nothing really.
Mm.
So they were like, okay, wait a week. So it was a week of like, just like holding my breath of you know, what's going on? Am I pregnant? Am I not? You know, it was quite a stressful time. And like, I didn't understand what a chemical pregnancy was, mm-hmm. you know? So just the idea of being pregnant, you know, was overwhelming.
Of course.
Anyway, so like a week or 10 days later, you know, I went back to do a test and they said, you know what, like your hormone levels are going down. So this isn't anything viable and it looks like it's a chemical pregnancy. So I said, okay, again, you know, you still have that little bit of hope.
Of
like,
course.
You know, I'm pregnant. Maybe it'll turn into something. You know, obviously I was like Googling every single
course,
day, like
obviously.
What's going on?
Yeah,
what's a chemical
yeah.
pregnancy? Can it turn into a real pregnancy? Anyways, it ended up just, you know, not happening. And it kind of, you know, puts there's this additional pressure on women when you're pregnant that your body needs to be in the best shape or you need to be living the most healthy life or like your body is the one that's carrying the baby.
Right.
So whatever happens is your responsibility. So I felt like when I had the you know, the miscarriage or whatever it's called after a chemical pregnancy, I felt like, oh my God, like my body failed me, you know? Mm. And, I ended up speaking to a lot of women who had gone through something similar or who had gone through actual miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? It's shocking how common it is.
Yeah,
you know?
It is super common. You're right.
Yeah, but nobody really speaks about it. You know, it's not, I didn't feel like ashamed or anything. I just felt like, oh my God, like what if my body can't get pregnant and then I have to take the IVF route.
I think,
and,
by the way, a lot of women feel like, because I mean, I'm relating to you. I'm like, can I get pregnant? Like your gyno can say so much to you, right? They can say like, you have PCOS, because I have PCOS and endometriosis, which actually makes me a lot harder to get pregnant. But it's interesting because, like, whenever I go to the gyno, sorry to interrupt, just because
no,
I think it's something
it.
That, like, women can, like, she goes, like, everything is fine, but then when you feel like, can you actually get pregnant? And you don't know until, like, you're actively trying, I guess, which is then risky because I'm like, I'm not ready to have kids right now, but also I need to know that it's
what's
possible.
Going on in
what's
your body.
On?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like there's enough, I don't know if it's this region, if it's the world, that there isn't enough data,
education. Yeah, we're not taught.
We're not taught on our bodies as females. Yeah. And you're right, there is a lot of pressure. It's when you go to your point and validate your feelings on, there is a lot of pressure for women to be in the best shape, to be healthy, to be this, to be that before they get pregnant.
Yeah.
and to also maintain it while you're pregnant, which I don't even know how you would do that.
Oh my
that.
God, yeah.
How
we'll
are you
going to
gonna
that.
Yeah, we're gonna get to that. How are you going to be like, I need to walk every day or work out, and your like body is like, you're sweating and whatever all this shit is
There's
happening.
A lot of changes going on, I mean, when I had my chemical pregnancy, it was the first time I ever heard about chemical pregnancies.
This is the first time I'm hearing of this.
So, I mean, I went through that, and, you know, I had the comfort of knowing that so many people around me went through it, and you know it was tough on the day that kind of miscarried.
How was your body feeling? Like, did you feel anything different? Was it?
Yeah, I did. I mean, yeah, slightly.
Okay.
I mean, I think there was more of a mental kind of shift than a physical shift, because it was quite early on. And then, so it happened. You know, I was upset naturally, but it was kind of like, okay, you know what? I turned to faith. I'm a faithful person. So I was like, you know what? God didn't want this to happen.
I believe that too.
Now. And now is not my time. And maybe if it was if it did develop into like an embryo or a fetus, then maybe it wouldn't have been healthy. So I'm just going to take it for what it is. I'm okay. You know, I was upset for a day, but then I was like, life goes on. So that happened. And then one thing that a lot of the women told me was, it happens the first time and it makes it easier for you to get pregnant the second time.
By the way, I've heard this before about miscarriages, but it's interesting. Okay, yeah, it is. I've heard of this before. So were you, what taught it? Were you actively trying, or?
We just continued. Just like, we just continued life. You know, I was you know what? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, then, you know, when we get to a point where we're like 100% ready, which I don't think anybody ever is 100% ready, but when we get to a point where we're more ready and it doesn't happen, then I'll worry.
Yeah.
But I actually, so this was maybe June, July. This was June.
Okay.
And then I got pregnant in August. So I got pregnant.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So actually this time when I got pregnant, I was actually on a work trip. I was in the Seychelles.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
And I was so sick. I got on the plane. I was there. It was like,
nausea.
Yeah. No, not nausea. Oh. I was sick. Like, I had a fever, sore throat. Like, like a proper like fever flu situation.
Oh my God.
So I'm on the plane and I'm like, I hate that I'm going on a work trip right now. I'm exhausted. And then I was like, and I'm gonna have my period and I have to do all this work, and my period's really intense. Mm-hmm. I keep mentioning my period.
No, but it's, I mean, this is 95% of females listen to this podcast, FYI.
Yeah. So I was like, oh shit, like what a time to go on a work trip.
Yeah.
So I was like anticipating my period coming, and I'm like, I'm sick. And then, so I was there to manage a shoot and just kind of do, we have a property there. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of managing a few things there.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. We will. So I was like, ugh, what a, like this is the worst time for me to be traveling. So luckily for me, it was like raining heavily for the time that I was there, so I kind of just stayed in bed and recovered. Somewhat recovered. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'm sick, so my period, my period is delayed. But then my period is so regular, and I was there for 5 days and I didn't get my period.
Oh my God.
So I was like, okay, and I still felt sick.
Yeah.
So I was like,
so I'm making sure we're still recording.
Okay.
Because Khaled, last time he recorded with someone, and it was not recording for half of it. So I got to make sure. Like,
okay.
Because this is good. This is good. Okay. This is good.
Let me know if you need me to stop.
No, sorry. No. It was just to make sure it was good. Go ahead.
So I didn't want to do a pregnancy test there.
Okay.
And I kind of just blamed it on being sick.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I traveled, I'm sick, you know.
Travel also delays your period and all the things.
So I was like, okay, whatever. So I got home. Came to the end of that trip, and I was like, okay, the first thing I'm going to do is order a pregnancy test at home. Yeah, literally. Thank you, InstaShop.
Yeah, shout out, guys. You should sponsor me.
Yeah.
This little plug.
100%. So I get home, and I was still sick. And so I did a pregnancy test, and I did a COVID test. And both came out positive.
No.
So I was like, oh my God. Like, oh again, I was like, what does it mean having COVID and being pregnant? 100%. And so I called usual doctor. I just called like one of the clinics near me to see if they'd take me. But they were like, oh, if you have COVID. I was like, listen, I'm pregnant and I just tested positive for COVID on the home test. Like, can I come in and just, you know, can a doctor just, or can I speak to a doctor and can they just advise me on what to do in this situation? And they were like, oh no, like they were so annoying. They were like, no, you have to go to a DHA hospital. And I was like, okay, the last thing I want to do is go to a DHA hospital. I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Anyway, so I was COVID positive, pregnancy positive, and so I was just kind of chilling at home. Made an appointment with the OBGYN. And then it kind of started off with that fear coming out of the chemical pregnancy, having COVID. I'm like, oh God, like God's not giving me a break now.
He's throwing me some fires.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank God COVID passed. It wasn't that difficult, but I was worried, naturally. So whatever, I went in, the doctor, Dr. Helena Taylor, she's amazing. Okay, for anyone who's planning to have a baby or give birth in Dubai, she's amazing. Highly recommend her.
Okay, I'll talk to you about that. Yes.
I got you. Don't worry. I went to her. She was like, don't worry. It's okay. Everything is fine. Everything looks okay. So I went to do the scan and there was an embryo with a heartbeat.
Oh my God.
And like, that was like, you know, it was really emotional because I had had a previous scan where there was nothing, you know, and you kind of, you're always hopeful.
100%.
Anyway, so I did that. And then they do the regular, tests, blood tests. And this is something that I would really recommend that all women do. Generally speaking, I don't think we do general checkups enough.
We don't. You're 100% right.
I mean, women and men, actually. But in my case, so I ended up doing the blood test where they test for all of these things and viruses and blah, blah, blah that can impact the baby.
Mm-mm-mm.
And what ended up happening was I tested positive for CMV.
What's that?
Which is also something that I had no idea about until I got pregnant. So CMV is a virus, a very, very common virus. A lot of people have it and they probably don't know they have it. It's transmitted through, saliva, sharing food, utensils, whatever, even somebody coughing on their hand, whatever. Yeah. Okay, so it's easily transmitted. And in the case of pregnant women, if you contract it while you're pregnant, there is a very, very high chance of the fetus or the embryo developing abnormalities.
Wow.
So I ended up testing positive, and that was another stress for me. And the problem is with that test, so they do that general checkup, blood test to check for all those things. But if you test positive for CMV, it's another test that they need to do, called an avidity test that they need to, well, my doctor needed to send it overseas. And I think that's kind of what happens here in Dubai. And it takes 2 weeks for the results to come back. So you can either, you can tell if you got it, a while ago, or if you got it, while you were pregnant. So for the 2 weeks, I was just, up all night, Googling again, CMV, what are the worries that I should have knowing that I have CMV. One of the things was like, it's the number one cause of deafness in babies.
Microcephaly.
I don't know, so many different things. And I'm like, oh my God, here I go again, And then I still felt that feeling of being betrayed by my body, Like, why does this have to happen? Why do I have to go through this kind of thing? Again, it's super common, but we don't know about it, Like, we're really not taught that these are the things that you kind of need look out for.
Yeah.
Luckily, I mean, after 2 weeks, they called me and they were like, it looks like you contracted it, like, a very long time ago. So it's not, it's just, it's, it, 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 it's something that stays with you for the rest of your life, and maybe it kind of got it was dormant and kind of, you know, got triggered by me being sick or whatever. But I didn't contract it during pregnancy, so that was a relief.
So that's a good thing, that like, even though you had it for a while, it's okay. It wasn't contracted during pregnancy.
More the worry comes when you contract it during pregnancy. Luckily for me, actually Shamil also tested positive for it. So we probably got it from the same source or something.
Maybe in Thailand.
I mean who knows. Thailand, yeah, anything can happen there.
So once you, I know you feel like, I want to talk a bit more about the body and the betrayal throughout your pregnancy. Did you feel like tired, exhausted? Were you annoyed about your body? Like for me, my biggest fear, because I'm someone who is active and I work out, like for, I love my walks, my Pilates, my this, my biggest fear is that my body's gonna be like, you're too tired to do this, or you can't do this. And I hate the word you can't do it. Do you know what it bothers me, because I'm such a like determined person. I put my mind to something, I'm gonna do it.
Look, I think generally speaking, I had a really good pregnancy. I had very little morning sickness. It was very, very mild. So I wasn't, you know, it wasn't debilitating where I couldn't do anything. So I was pretty active. I wasn't exercising. I used to exercise a lot more, and we'll get to that at some point. I wasn't exercising, but I was working festivals while I was pregnant. As part of my, like, you know, I was for 7.5 months. I was on my feet, on the go all the time. I mean, the one kind of form of exercise that I was doing was yoga. I wish I did more. And I don't think that you should ever feel like you cannot do what you normally do. And the doctors recommend you doing modified exercises that you're already doing. So don't feel like you can't do that. That's one of my regrets. I kind of stopped all of the things that I was doing. And I feel like I'm kind of suffering the consequences now.
What do you mean by that?
I just feel like it's a lot harder for me to get back into the exercising that I used to do for multiple reasons. One being that I literally just didn't exercise for like a year and a half, or like almost 2 years, you know. Like I was active. My lifestyle was generally active for the most part. But exercising, like, you know, when it comes time to have my second kid, like I will for sure make exercising,
make it a point, like
make
integrated.
It part of my routine.
But like, girl, you're learning, right? And I think you're also, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know your friend group and I'm friends with them, but you were kind of the first one to get pregnant. So you're kind of the one leading our pack of like what to do, what not to do. And I think it's also like a blessing, because you kind of got to formulate what your pregnancy journey is, and inshallah when you have your second kid, you take those notes.
I know how to do it better.
You know how to do it better, you know, and know how to do it how you want to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you feeling, so once you gave birth, how has that been? Like now that you have a baby, that's almost a year?
He is gonna be 10 months.
So
on the 17th.
Wow.
It's crazy. I can't believe how time has just flown by.
I mean, after pregnancy, because alhamdulillah you had a good one, what you give birth.
I'm gonna stop you there, and I'm gonna jump back a few steps and tell you about the emotional side of pregnancy.
Okay, yes.
Because physically, I felt physically good. I think my biggest like fuck up was maybe my food as well. Like I just felt like I was literally having McDonald's 3 times a week.
Girl, I would do the same. Are you kidding me? I'm excited.
I just felt like, you know what? Like I'm pregnant. This is the only time that I can do it. You know.
Khaled always tells me when you're pregnant, that is your time to eat whatever the fuck you want.
But it's not. But it's not. Because post-pregnancy,
tell me now.
I did that. And I mean, I did that more so towards the end of the pregnancy when I was like less mobile and I was like, ugh, you know, I'm so hungry all the time and my body's craving McDonald's. Yeah. I mean, we don't do McDonald's anymore.
Yeah, we're boycotting, by the way. Yeah, this is pre-boycott.
But I think that also kind of took a toll on me, like feeling like I could just eat whatever I wanted, you know. And I genetically, I'm not, you know, as blessed as other women in terms of, you know, having like a fantastic physique without.
Oh my God, me but, either. Yeah, I have to work for this shit every single day.
And you got to put in the extra work, you know. So I kind of
think most women, by the way, are not genetically blessed in that way, where their figure kind of stays.
I think for me, it also kind of. You know, it was a thought that came from the fact that my mom bounced back so quickly as well. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm gonna bounce back like my mom. My mom was in her jeans like a week after giving birth, you know.
Wow.
So that definitely didn't happen to me. I gained like 17-18 kilos. I mean, Tariq was a big baby as well. So I ended up having a C-section, an emergency C-section. So,
okay, wait, sorry. Just go back to the emotional side.
Sorry. There's so many.
I know, there's so many layers to it. I want to get into the emotional side of what you were feeling during those 9 months and how it, like, what that would toll, and also the toll it took on your partner.
Yes.
That's because I think that's also something that we need to consider.
So I think when I got pregnant, the beginning was relatively easy because I didn't feel so different. I kind of felt like I could manage everything. Like I said, I was like working festivals and, you know, I was super active, you know. We're talking about 12-hour days on my feet as a pregnant woman, if not more. I think in the beginning, maybe the first 5 months was quite okay. There wasn't such a big change, but I think once I started being more pregnant, that's when the real changes started to happen, because we were living in two different parallels. I think, you know, like his life was still the same and mine wasn't.
Yeah,
you know, my life was totally different, and I felt like I needed to be taken care of more, and I felt like he was going through like this, you know, mental crisis of like, I'm about to be a dad. And, you know, Moyo also had friends that had just became
parents.
Yeah. So he kind of witnessed what they were going through, and it kind of, you know, it was a shock to him.
Of course.
You know,
no, naturally. Of course. Naturally. So understandable, and it's naturally. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Also, as a man, I think, and I know I hate to play the roles, but the man, especially in our culture, security, financials, like they start thinking like 10 years down the line, and we're like, hello, we're here, we're pregnant, we have baby, and so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Moyo's gonna love that you said that. Yeah.
<I know>. Me and him already vibe, so I already know he's gonna love me for that. No, seriously, because I can see what the roles. Kind of like I can even see it. I'm not pregnant, but I can see even Khaled already thinking about that.
And you're kind of, I want to live for the now.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm gonna go on my trips this year, my bachelorettes. What I mean? Like, I'm not really thinking, and I think the man takes on that role, especially in our culture.
Yes, 100%. I totally agree with you. But I think in my experience or our experience, it was more so like, I was pregnant, and my mind, you know, when you're pregnant, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier about how you are so concerned about what your body could do to the baby.
100%.
I felt like I needed that kind of support where it was like, you know what, like, I'm going to take care of you. God forbid anything happens, especially because I had like a rough experience in the beginning and previously. I just felt like I needed somebody to kind of just like, take care of me. And he was just on his own journey of like, I need to get everything out of my system, and I need to, you know, go out, and I need to do all of these things. And I kind of felt like, okay, you know what, he's gonna do this, and I'm gonna just take care of myself. You know, so 100%. it was a big clash. And it was, that's where I felt like it was the hardest for us to compromise with each other. Like, he wasn't understanding me, I wasn't understanding him. And, you know, now in hindsight, when I think about it, I kind of, you know, I kind of just became this really uptight person. You know, I was just like so, you know, focused on making sure that I wasn't stepping out of line in any way, even though I was, again, working festivals.
No, but you know what I mean? It makes sense what you're saying.
But I was thinking, you know, this is my job. This is what I'm doing. I'm exposing the baby to all of this noise. So I went back and asked my doctor, like, I'm around really loud music all the time. I obviously, before I even spoke to her, I was on Google, and it was like, yes, it can damage their eardrums, blah, blah, blah. And I'm oh my God, like, okay, this is intense. Yeah. I love taking baths. I would go on Google, baths with a water temperature you're higher than X amount, it would cause harm to the baby. So everything I was doing, oh my God, there was a potential to cause harm to the baby. So I'm living with that kind of like stress.
Fear.
And fear. Exactly. Like it was like, you, no matter how advanced technology is, you really do not know what's going on inside you.
You're right.
You know? And that's, the unknown is the scariest part.
Of course, the unknown is the scariest part.
We'll get to that also in my birthing experience.
Yeah. But I want to go back to you and Moya's relationship, because I do, when I talk to couples that have had kids, like mostly Khaled's friends, but who I've had, my friend group hasn't started that journey yet, but I can see that it does affect, like, it can affect their relationship, but I think that's a very natural thing to happen.
Yes.
Because then when the baby comes, and I'm sure you'll get into it, you're kind of form a new relationship in some way.
100%.
Right?
100%. I mean, it's like you said, it's a given.
It's a given.
You know, some people handle it better than others, but there's always some sort of shift
in
a relationship.
Yeah.
And I think given the dynamic of our marriage, I mean, we weren't married for a long time, you know.
No, you weren't. We weren't even living together for a long time. Yeah.
So like we really, like, we went through the marriage and couple phase very quickly. I don't think we even like acclimatized to that phase.
You before didn't really settle into your newlywed phase before getting pregnant.
Yeah. Like no, we didn't do the traveling that we wanted to
100%.
Do. We didn't do, you know, we didn't like, there, you really get to know somebody in that phase. And I think we knew each other enough, but I feel like, you know, we didn't enjoy it as much as we possibly could have.
But I also think that was something that was meant to come into
your 100%.
Life. You know, I really believe in, I mean, I believe in faith too, and I have my own relationship with God, but I do believe the universe, let's talk about energy, if someone doesn't believe in religion listening, but the energy in the universe had you get pregnant at that time for a specific reason.
I totally agree.
100%.
I totally agree. It's not, I'm happy with the way that things played out, and I don't think life ends when you have kids.
I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
After I'm going to talk about that.
I feel like this episode is going to be like 3 hours long.
Because I do want to talk about
we'll get to it. Yeah. So yeah, I think it was hard on our relationship. I think we grew apart a little bit. Like we kind of, you know, dealt with things individually when we could have dealt with it together in a lot of ways. I think, you know, there was a lot of learnings that came out of it. It was very hard on our relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, if you ever have Moyo here talking about his side, talking about his side of things, he'll tell you. He was like, I was a monster for like 9 in his mind it was 9 months. For me it was like 4 months and then post-birth, you know. So yeah, I mean, I think next time around, naturally I'll be less stressed, I'll have less worries.
I've done it already. It's
a lot easier.
Yes.
I mean, it's not the first time.
Always the first time for anything, feels like, I mean, getting married.
Yeah. So I think we'll get into the birthing experience.
Okay,
now
we'll go ahead with the birth, because I oh my God, I have so much I have so much fear when it comes to that birthing experience. Like,
look, there is this crazy thing that happens towards the end of your pregnancy, where the fear just turns into like this excitement and this like impatience to kind of get the baby out, because you're so tired and you're so big. And also you're just ready to meet your baby.
Of course.
You know, like, what are they going to look like? What are they going to, like, what's their personality going to be like? You know, are they going to be a difficult baby? Or are they going to be an easy, like, you just, it just switches, or the fear switches off. You know, so you'll hopefully, get to that point, you'll understand. Yeah.
Okay, so what happened?
So I ended up getting induced. So he was just not budging.
Were you on the due date?
No, 2 days after.
2 days after. Okay.
So actually, he Tariq is named after my dad and was born on my mom's birthday.
Oh my God.
So he's like,
is
and
he
he's
a
Leo? He's Taurus.
He's like Moyo. So May.
Yeah, Hula. May 17th.
Oh my God,
yeah.
He's a Taurus. Okay.
Yeah. So, and he's the first grandchild. So you can imagine.
Oh my God. The,
you know,
I can only imagine.
How spoiled he is. Yeah. So I said, you know what? Like, that'll be nice. You know, as a first grandchild, you get to pick the day. So I said, let's do May 17th. My doctor's birthday was May 15th. She was like, you don't want to do May 15th? And I was like, at first I was like, okay, the sooner the better. May 15th was my due date, actually.
Okay.
So it was her birthday and my due date. But then I said, okay, let's do May 17th. It'll
be
a nice.
You get to pick?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You get to pick? Wait, explain this to me. What do you mean? Like, so you're like, because you're is because you're going to have an induced.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, got it. So if you're getting induced or you're having a planned C-section, you get to kind of pick the date within the, you know,
like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah. 2 week, 10 day kind of space, give or take from your due date.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Or maybe not. Give. I don't think you want to be pregnant for 10 more days.
Some women choose to.
Anyway, so yeah, I picked that date. I went in. So I went in and they, you know, she came, she broke my water. She's like,
is it actually water out?
Oh my God, it was crazy.
Is it actually water out?
It like pops and then it's like a gush of water.
Stop.
Yeah. It was so strange.
Oh my
yeah.
God, that is so weird.
So they put me in the gown. They're like, go walk around for an hour. So I'm just there like leaking amniotic fluid, with like this gigantic pad on, walking around the hospital, drinking juice. They were like, drink sugar, kind of get the baby moving and stuff. And then, so my plan was, I mean, I wanted to do a water birth and, you know, like I had this grand plan, but then I was kind of like, whatever, you know, let the baby come out however he wants to come out.
Well, you knew the sex before?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Not playing a shaman?
No. I couldn't. No way. I don't have that kind of patience.
Shaman, we've discussed like 3,000 times on this podcast, is doing... She doesn't know the gender of her baby, and she's giving birth inshallah in like 2 weeks.
I don't have that kind of patience.
I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, she's giving birth in like... Her due date is in like 8 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so she's due any day now. What was I talking about?
So you're walking around with your juice.
Yeah, so nothing really happened. Like, I wasn't getting contractions. So they give you some Pitocin to induce the contraction. So I started off, no medication, just the Pitocin. And so I started to get the contractions. Bearable, totally bearable. From what I hear, natural contractions are a lot easier to manage than...
induced ones.
Yes.
Okay.
They're a lot more intense. They come on a lot stronger. Mm-mm-mm. So I think I went 7 hours without any medication.
Oh my God.
But I wasn't dilating. Okay. And my contractions, so your contractions, when they're less than like a minute apart, that's when you're like at the tail end of the birthing experience, like you're about to give birth. Mine were less than a minute apart, and I was only 5 centimeters dilated. So they said, you know what, like, it's going to be a long process and you're going to be really tired, so we're going to give you the epidural. So I took the epidural.
How does it feel?
Fantastic. I didn't feel anything.
It's fantastic. I've heard great
things. Oh my God,
it
was amazing. I was just like, the only bad thing is you can't eat. Yeah, you can't eat when you're on when you take epidural. So
is the needle like actually like this big?
I didn't see it because I mean they inject you in the back, but Moyo said that it was like, yeah, it was like a sword going
my
in your back.
God, oh my
and
God.
Like you have to kind of like brace yourself because I'm having contractions and they have to, you know, inject me in between the contractions, and like at that point it was just really really intense, so it was hard to kind of I was relatively calm, actually. I was quite calm, so I wasn't really, you know, physically overreacting. It was more like trying to breathe through it and stuff. Anyway, so they gave me the injection, the epidural. It was fantastic, but then Tariq's heart rate started to drop.
Oh my God.
So it started to drop, and the doctor came in at some point and she was like, look, I'm here, I'm gonna monitor what's going on, but every time you have a contraction, his heart rate is dropping. We don't know what's going on. So this is, again, another unknown. Like she said, it could be a cord wrapped around his neck. It could be that he's stuck in the birthing canal, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I was calm. I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not worried. I'm not going to worry. The only time I worried was I had a moment where his heart rate dropped drastically. And I had like 3 doctors come in and they were doing cervical checks and shifting my position. So I wasn't. So at one point they put me in a seated position. I couldn't lay down because they said that laying down was putting too much pressure on him and it was affecting his heart. So then, you know, when they rushed in and they were checking me and they couldn't find his heart rate for whatever reason, my doctor came in and she's like, we got to take you to do an emergency C-section. I was like, let's go for it. Like,
yeah, let's do it. Of course.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, just get it
out
of me.
Yeah. So the C-section experience was I'm glad that I experienced every type of birth. Like I had like the natural feelings, I had the epidural, and then I went through the C-section. And so in the C-section you're awake. So
they're
you're
cutting
numb.
Your stomach,
huh?
And they're cutting your stomach.
Yeah,
open.
So you can feel things. It's crazy.
And you're numb though.
You're numb. Yeah, it's the epidural that makes you numb. So you're not feeling anything, but like at the same time, you're kind of feeling
pressure.
Things. Like they were like, like at one point, my doctor was like, "Can you please move the bowels?" And I was like, "What?" And I told Moya was sitting next to me. And I told him, I was like, please talk to me because I'm like feeling things. I was like, I'm like, this is so strange.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know, within like 30 minutes, the baby was out.
30 minutes, Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, 30 minutes start to finish from when okay. they took me out of the room
to
the
delivery.
Operating theater. And then the baby was out and she said like there was absolutely nothing wrong and there was no cord, no nothing. He was just being naughty. That's what she said. So I just
Turk
like,
is a little naughty.
I lost it.
Now.
I lost it.
Like
I, oh my God. I was like snorting. I couldn't even, I couldn't even control it. Moya was laughing hysterically. He was like, like, he was like, we did it. I was like, what did you do?
Yeah, like, what did you do?
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah. So he was out and it was just really like, it was such a beautiful moment.
How did it feel to hold your baby?
You know, that first moment, it was a bit overwhelming because I also, like, when you think about a C-section, it's like a real surgery, you know? So they're doing real surgery
on
you.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of blood loss. So I started to feel like I was going to faint. Mm. So they had put Tariq on me, you know, skin to skin. And, like, it was, like... For that like split second, it was so nice. And then I was like, I'm going to throw up everywhere and I'm going to pass out. So please, I was like, please, can you take him off me? I'm not feeling well at all. And I kept feeling like I was going to throw up. And they gave Moyo a bucket to catch my vomit. Yeah. And then, you know, after a while, I kind of just, I regained my strength and stuff. And then, yeah, it was so surreal.
I have a question because I have a friend that works for a startup in women health.
Yeah.
And she was because I'm curious about your experience. When you go to the hospital, you're there overnight, right?
Yeah. So I was there because I did a C-section. I was there for like 4 nights.
So 4 nights. So do they, because she was telling me something like if you have like a normal birth.
Yeah.
Like after the next day, like they're like peace.
Yeah.
Like if they don't, insurance here doesn't cover more than that.
Yeah, 2 days, I think.
2 days, yeah, exactly. So I wanted to just understand from your experience how many days you stay in the hospital and then what was it feeling like to go home? Like how the fuck did you know what to do with the baby? Like literally, how did you know what to do with
him? We're so lucky here and I've actually seen a lot of videos on TikTok.
Of course, love TikTok.
Yeah, me too.
Always promote
Guilty
TikTok
pleasure.
On this. I love it. Have you seen my cooking?
Yeah, I did. I have. We'll talk about that.
We'll talk about tonight. I'm doing another one.
Good job. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Follow me on TikTok at Lands, though. You'll see my cooking series. It's pretty funny.
So funny.
Yeah.
So look, we are so lucky that we have access to so many services here. I mean,
right.
Even
family,
as part of the package of giving birth, you know, you meet with a lactation specialist.
Wait, what?
You have nurses around the clock. I mean, for me, like at one point they ask you, you know, do you want the baby to sleep in the room with you or do you want us to take the baby to the nursery so you can get some sleep? And I was like, oh my God, like 100% take the baby. Because he was so hungry, my milk didn't come in.
I would have done the exact same thing. Like,
so
take him.
So I was like, you know what? Like, I really need to rest. And, like, you're just bleeding profusely, you
yes.
know? And, like, you're filthy. And you just, like, you can't even sleep comfortably. But just even a few minutes of sleep matter. So I was like, take him. The moment I went home was, I mean, I also had a night nurse, which was also a godsend.
By the way, I'm having that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. If you have the privilege of having a night nurse, I highly recommend it. So I had a night nurse that helped me a lot. There's a lot of things that you don't know, you know, like when is your milk going to come in if it didn't come in immediately?
Do you have to breastfeed?
They help you. You don't
okay.
have. There's no such thing as you have to.
Okay.
You know, that pressure of like, you are a good
the
mom
pressure.
If you
yes,
if you
exactly.
breastfeed.
Exactly.
Forget about that. A fed baby is a happy baby.
100%.
Cheers. So I did a combination from day one. Mm. You know, I didn't have enough milk in the hospital, so they gave Tarek formula throughout my stay, and then my milk came in like 5 days later when I went home. And
are you trying every day to put them like produce milk?
Now?
No, like then.
Yeah, so the nurses come and they're like pumping you and squeezing and trying to get whatever they can out of you. Yeah, you're like a cow, literally. Yeah. And you know what? It works for some women and it doesn't work for others, you know? So there's no pressure. So I happened to, you know, I was lucky enough to have milk come through, but I was telling Shamil and Drilla this yesterday that I felt a little bit trapped by breastfeeding, you know? Like, you are constantly conscious of the fact that like you're about to start leaking or like you can't wear certain clothes because you have to wear, you know, a breastfeeding bra or like is things that are easy access or blah blah blah, like you can't, it's not comfortable, you know, even though I loved it. I ended up stopping at around 4 months.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good. Yeah, I'm happy that I lasted that long.
I think I lost like 2 seconds.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Yeah, right. you never know. But yeah, that was my breastfeeding experience. I think the experience going home as well, I went to my parents' house.
I told Khaled I'm moving into my parents' house when we have the baby for a month.
Yeah, we'll
You have everything there. You have
take all the help you can get.
100%.
Take all the help you can get.
So how was the first month of having taught it, like, was it hectic? Were you easy adaptable? Was Moyo like, what the hell's going on?
Look, Moyo was always, he's so supportive, you know, like he was never like, I'm never gonna change diapers, I'm never gonna feed. He was all like, he was there to do those things.
Amazing.
I had postpartum rage.
I wanted to talk about postpartum and your experience.
Okay,
I have a question about postpartum.
Yeah,
does everyone get it? Like, some moms get it, some moms don't.
I think everyone, I mean, this is my opinion. I don't know scientifically, but I think every mom gets it in different kind of
ways.
Yeah.
So yours was rage.
I had postpartum rage. I was so angry.
Okay.
I was angry. I was emotional. I didn't feel like depressed per se, but I just felt really angry because you're also like, you don't feel like yourself, you know, you don't feel like, you know, anything is familiar about your own body. I mean, being in my parents' house, obviously I grew up in my parents' house, but like it felt foreign, you know, like I wasn't in the comfort of my own home. You know, being post C-section, like I had to be careful and like change my dressings and do all of those things. And you have to inject yourself and do all of these things. And like, for me, my rage, God bless Moyo, but it was really directed towards him.
I understand that, though.
And it was kind of like I was grieving and I felt like his life was just normal. Like, like day two, he was like,
grieving of what? Your past life?
I was just like, I lost myself in all of the, you know,
makes sense.
In the process. Lost myself and I felt like, how is his life so normal? You know, like, okay, he was losing sleep and we have a kid now, blah, blah, blah. But like, he was like, oh, babe, I'm going to play golf with your brother. Like, see you later. And I was like, see you later. Like, you're supposed to be with me every freaking second. But you're going to play golf. Yeah, okay, that's your priority, you know?
I understand. So,
like, it was uncontrollable for me. Like, I couldn't control it. I was just like, I was like attacking him constantly. And I feel so bad about it. But like, you can't explain how out of your control it is.
I feel that it's out of your control. These are your emotions. I mean, I've talked about, like, I've been to depression before in college, a little antidepressant, discussed on the podcast before, and how I can relate is that through that depression stage, I could not control how I was feeling.
People like, think that you can just control it. You cannot.
Anxiety, depression, postpartum, like, these are things that you cannot control.
Yeah, so I just, like, it was so hard. It was really difficult for me to explain that, like, this is not in my hands as well. Like, I can't just be like, I can't, like, don't feel angry, don't feel, you know, sad or upset or whatever. Like, I don't have time to think for myself right now. You know, I'm like, I'm a machine right now. I'm like feeding.
Changing diapers, feeding
baby.
Feeding on the go,
you know, like, you also feel a lot of guilt. You know, my parents were super hands-on, you know, I had the night nurse, I had all the help in the house and I was being taken care of, but like, I still felt like, oh my God, like, if I'm not the one feeding my baby, am I a bad mom?
So I want to talk about mom guilt.
Yeah.
Because
it's real.
It's real. Yeah. So did you feel it? Okay, and in terms of like your mom, maybe your mom or dad like feeding the baby or changing the diaper.
Yeah.
What about like resuming into normal life and going seeing your friends, for example?
Forget about being spontaneous. Okay, forget about being spontaneous. Everything needs to be planned to a certain extent. It doesn't mean that you can't do those things. I think my problem was that I just put too much pressure on myself, you know. I was like, I can't do anything. Like for 3 months I didn't function, you know. I was like living in a robe. I didn't, like, the only time I left the house was to go to the pediatrician or the doctor for my checkups. Other than that, like, I really didn't have a social life for the first like 3 months. I tried, but like, I also feel like I was too hard on myself. We ended up traveling at 3 months. We went to California. We said, let's take Tarek to California.
I remember this trip.
My parents were there, and it was so nice to just, you
get
know
out.
Yeah, do something relatively normal. I mean, a 16-hour flight with a baby isn't
By
relatively
the way, how did you do that? Was he okay?
He was perfect. Amazing. He was beyond perfect. Amazing. I mean, we had a little incident on the way to the airport where he just had like he exploded with like poop, and so we had to like quickly get to the airport, change him, threw his onesie out, like washed him in the sink.
Oh my god.
But I was prepared.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, I was prepared. So it was, overall, it was a good experience. But I think the sooner you get back to being normal, the better it is for you as a mom. Like, yeah. I feel like now, 9.5 months out, this is, I'm now starting to feel normal.
I was going to ask you, now, 9 months in, how do you feel? Like, do you feel like you're able to go back to like your daily life, or has like everything changed?
Look, things have changed for sure. Things have changed for sure. Like, you know, on weekends I can't make plans all the time. You know, I have a nanny. I have a full-time nanny, who's amazing, but like, she's off on Sunday. So if I decide to do something on a Saturday, it has to be very calculated. You know, I can't just like be like, okay, I'm going out until whenever, or like, I need to think like, I need to be up at like 7:30 or 6:30 or whenever he wakes up the next day and be, you know, fully attentive.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
You know, I think, yeah, life does change, but you are also in control of how much you allow it to change. And I think, again, my biggest mistake was feeling like I can't function, I can't do anything, I can't go to the gym, I can't, you know, I can't go be with my friends, I can't do anything. Like, I have the help, I have the support, you know, if need be, I can send Tarek to my parents' house, you know, and they love when he sleeps over, you know, they beg
me,
I'm sure they beg me all the time. But I was like so hard on myself, and I feel like that also took a toll on my relationship, you know. Like, I wasn't a very present wife, I wasn't, you know, I wasn't myself.
Mm-mm-mm.
And like, now I feel like, you know, Shamal told me something, such a simple thing, but she just told me, she's like, Nadia, just let loose. Like, why don't you just let loose? You know, and I think I was so stuck in the habit of not letting loose from pregnancy that it was hard to do that. But I think I just needed someone to just kind of word it to me like that, and I was like, actually, you know what, yeah, let me just let loose. And I did it, and I was like, okay, like, it's not that difficult.
Yeah. And I think we all overhype shit in our heads so much.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm someone who like overhypes it, overanalyzes, overthinks. Mm-hmm. I'm not a mother yet, but I can understand how that kind of, you have like attachment to your baby, you also feel that guilt, you also want to resume to your normal life, but you know things aren't going to be the same.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask though, do you feel like your purpose in life changed after being a mother? Because I don't think so either.
But I think it's part, it's like a parallel purpose.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a, like, I totally shut off who I was and now this is the new me. Yeah, this is the new me, but I still love the things that I used to love. Maybe I don't do them as often, and I'm fine with that. You know, this is that, I'm in that phase of my life. But I think, you know, the whole idea of your purpose changes as a mom, that puts a lot of pressure on moms as well. You know, like, you can be nothing but a mom. No, that's not true.
It's
like,
not
I
true.
Still work. I just changed my work dynamic. So I work from home more often than I used to. I'm yet to get back to my activities, but I will get back to them.
You will get
like
back
I'm
to
I'm
it.
I'm going in May with my dad and my sister to do the Rwanda guerrilla hike.
Oh my God,
you know, so these are the things that really fulfill me. My job, okay, it's a job. I enjoy it to a certain extent, but like, is it my purpose? It's maybe one of my purposes, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it's better to have lots of different purposes than to kind of fixate on like, what is my actual purpose? You know, what is my calling in life? Like, we don't live in that world anymore. I agree. You know,
I agree. I think you can have multiple purposes, and I think you're always in a journey through life, through your mm-hmm. experiences, to finding what your new purposes are.
Yeah.
Right now, my purpose is my podcasting, using my voice, and which is amazing. Like you, Nadia, because I think I haven't discussed pregnancy, postpartum, all of this. I haven't discussed. Yeah. This has been so interesting.
Yeah.
I want to end it with: is there any advice that you would give to people either trying, want to be a new mom in motherhood right now, mm-hmm. that are kind of struggling? Because I see you as you've come out on the other side, and you got it nailed down, girl.
Thank you.
Really, you have. So
I don't feel that way, but
no, really, you have. And I, mashallah, honestly, and like hearing your story has been quite inspiring, I have to say. So thank you for sharing. But what advice would you give, I guess, to like new mommies or people who want to try? And what would be your advice?
That's an interesting one. I think just take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, be easy on yourself. You know, it's not the entire process is not easy from start to finish. Also, make sure that you do things that make you happy. I realize that when I'm not happy because I feel like I'm not doing the things that mm-hmm. I love, it kind of it reflects in my daily life. So I think I mean, this isn't new advice, and I'm sure all moms feel the same way. Like, you need to do things for yourself. It's not selfish. You're a better mom when you do things for yourself. You know,
I agree with that.
Even if it's just going and having coffee with a friend, you know, for an hour, your baby's not going to feel like you neglected them.
Correct.
I also think, be good to your husband.
Yeah.
Be good to your husband, and vice versa. Like, make sure you guys understand each other and you communicate well. I think I'm not a very good communicator, and I think being in this situation has forced me to communicate a lot better. And I think, like, you still have a relationship, you know, that needs taking care of and needs nurturing. And if you forget that part as well, that's a huge part of the process. Yeah. Like, it's not, you didn't have a baby by yourself. Yeah, you had a baby with someone. And if you guys forget who you are, and you forget to do things as a couple, as parents.
Date nights.
Yeah. I mean, date nights is one thing, but just like even being present with each other, it's exhausting, but time is really the most important thing when it comes to taking care of your relationship post baby. Yeah, I think that kind of sums it up.
I think that's it. Thank you, Nadia, so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's been fantastic, guys.
We can do a second episode. I feel like there's so much more I have to say.
We can do a part two. Guys, check out Soul Beach. I'm going to put it in the comments. I'm going to tag it. Nadia is an absolute boss. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Guys, don't forget, like, subscribe, follow me on the gram, and I'll see you next week.
Bye.